all of Barstool Sports will be relocating to Manhattan. We want to take it to the world. But we're trying to take this site and crank it the f*** up.
They've conquered the internet.
What an idiot.
And now Barstool takes over the SiriusXM airwaves.
There they go! What's going to happen?
Real.
The Finer Things Club. The Scumbag Club.
You are cute. Are you married?
I'm married to the game.
Unfiltered.
Stop sending the dick pics.
Controversial.
You're a bummer.
I believe we're funnier, smarter, better, prettier than everybody else who is stealing our shtick on the internet.
By the common man. For the common man. It's Barstool Radio.
Yeah.
Here is your host, Dave Portnoy.
Hey, yo, it's not Dave Portnoy. It's actually Chaps, Caleb, and Rome. We're back at you again. Live from Kirby Ice House in Houston, Texas, where we're here for the Super Bowl. Wild scene last night. Biggest crowd so far of all the Comedy Central at the Rundown here in Houston. The place was going bananas. People were so loud here that you couldn't even hardly hear on TV.
I was in the front row, and I felt like I couldn't hear. I was like in the pit right in front of the stage, and I felt like I had to laser focus just to hear the show.
Yeah,
which
Is it a positive or a negative?
It's not really a positive. Like, they need to do something better for the actual people who are here to be able to hear what's going on.
Well, I don't even think that they played speakers at all last night for the people who came to watch the live show, which is a bizarre move.
They moved the speakers, and I guess what happened was that they weren't expecting it to be like a college game day type atmosphere, right. But it definitely was.
Signs, people jumping up and down,
and because the
hell.
Speakers weren't loud enough, the show's starting at 11 o'clock here in Central Time, so everybody's been at the bar for like 3 hours. They're already drunk. They can't hear the show that they came to hear. So they're going to talk to their friends.
Naturally.
Yeah. So, and when you're drunk, you're not talking quietly. You're like fucking screaming at the dude right next to you.
And it's a lot of people doing it. It was just like a buzz the entire time. So there are technical things that this show needs to do to get a little better.
Yeah. And one of the big mistakes that they made last night was, like, as soon as they went to break, you'd have the Comedy Central person that would jump up on the stage and he would tell the crowd, like, hey, we need to quiet down. But he would do it right when the break starts. Drunk people have like a memory of like 45 seconds.
Yeah. But he should have done like right before we came back.
Yeah. Like right before they go, they should have had Hank with the clock on telling the Comedy Central we're going live in 20 seconds, so at least you might have like a minute
he would go up there and be like, all right, we need everyone to be really quiet, and they're coming back from break, make some noise everybody.
Man, what do you want no to sense do? They're like, you need to shut up now, scream.
Yeah.
No, shut up now, scream. No, shut up now, scream. Like, it made no sense at all, man. It was a shit show. But the big star of the night that was here was young Pat McAfee,
wow,
who announced live on Comedy Central last night that he is giving up millions of dollars as a professional football player to join us.
What an idiot.
At Barstool. And that's what everybody's reaction was that works here. It was like, dude, what are you doing, man? Like, you're giving up. I think I read that he left two years, $6 million on the table. I probably won't make $6 million the rest of my life, like, combined.
I disagree with that, but...
Thank you.
Of course. But I think that's just saying that, like, Barstool is, like, the dream job right now. Like, kids are going to grow up and want to be on Barstool instead of playing pro sports.
And I think it's definitely the dream job for, like, our age demographic. Like, for, like, and I'm probably not even in that age demographic
anymore.
No,
but people who watch the Barstool show where it's crushing on all...
Yeah, so you have Pat that's doing that. And the best reaction that I saw so far was this morning on Dan Patrick's show. They had Pat on to talk about his announcement. But before Pat went on, they had Drew Brees, quarterback of the Saints, and Patrick was like teasing his next segment, doing a real good job as a radio guy like you guys do usually.
Stop.
Of teasing the next segment. Dan Patrick was telling Drew Brees that Pat retired and Drew hadn't got the news yet. And his face looked absolutely shocked. He was like, is that a prank? Like, this can't be real.
I kind of still feel like it might be a prank.
I went back and watched the video that was on Barstool today, and it looks like it's still a prank.
It does, like, because you have Greg Olson there, Ian Rappaport's joking around.
It's so like done up that it does seem like it's a prank, but it's not.
Sure
it,
enough.
To my knowledge, it's not a prank.
If it is, it's very, very elaborate. All right, Ron, I want you to close your eyes.
All right.
We're going to do a little experiment.
Are we doing some new jazz voice right
you
now?
You too. We'll do a little bit of jazz voice.
Oh, my God.
We'll do a little President Trump jazz voice.
Eyes are closed.
All right. Imagine you're in Washington, D.C.
you stroll in.
Oh, yeah.
To the White House.
Hey, baby.
You sit down in the Oval Office.
Is this my desk?
And all of a sudden, President Trump starts to fuck you.
Oh, yeah, Donald. That's
You're getting
real
fucked
nice.
By President Trump. It's a slow jam. Slow, steady, small hands on your waist.
Ooh, I feel
doing that. A little pump and thump.
Yeah.
It's starting to get stinky from the sex in here.
That smells nice.
And that's what Melania is trying to avoid. Like, she doesn't want that
every single time.
Yeah, she doesn't want that at all. Like, imagine, like, because you don't know, like, if his carpets match the drapes, that's some weird-looking pubes, dude. Like, if he has, like, a little, like, orangey type of comb-over pubes.
Oh,
action.
Man. That's but do you think, who fucked him and said that he's actually has a massive dong, though?
I thought it was,
there?
Like, Kathy Griffin or something.
Well, he said it, like, on, he was at a debate.
He said he had a
they have nothing to worry about.
Yeah, it was like
anyone claiming I have a small dick, I have nothing to worry
yeah,
about.
Yeah, they know what they say about hands. And believe me, my dick is huge.
I saw the.
But he is low key thick. When he was getting on Air Force One or helicopter, Marine Corps helicopter one, I have to admit he was looking low key thick.
He probably got the butt implants like Lisa Vanderpump did, you know, and all the rest of those freaking.
Oh, Nicki Minaj face ass.
Yeah, big old fake butt ass having.
We got Pat McAfee in the building today. We are doing one this or that, one and one only, because it's the most important of the day. Today's this or that question is, would you rather be an NFL punter or a blogger for Barstool Sports? We have a guy here who is doing both because he's the dumbest person in the world. I guess we know your answer.
It's a real question, by the way. It's actually like the Dan Patrick Show, which is, I guess, do you say competitors on the air? But they actually, that's their question in their show.
Their poll of the day is that.
And I bet Barstool wins.
No, it's they're not winning, but there is a solid 30% of people saying they want to be a Barstool blogger, which is proof positive that democracy is stupid.
Yeah.
People shouldn't be allowed to vote.
I agree completely, because that should be at 100%. I'm so excited. I mean, I walked onto this RV right here, just tried Adderall for the first time in my life. I don't know when it's going to kick in. I don't know the rules of it.
It sounds like it kicked in, by the way.
No, this is every day, KFC. Thanks for ever listening to me talk. But this is... Honestly, it's the perfect fit for me. I'm real excited for it. I don't know what everybody else would do. Granted, staring in the face of that type of money, I think, will kind of sway a lot of people. But for me, I'm at the point where I've got everybody out of debt that I know. Everybody's back to zero. We got a reset button. And now it's just time to have a great time and create good content.
The money factor is huge. I'm going to say something that people at home, and I do believe this. The Colts decision, still playing football, it's almost like you're guaranteed more money. Well, you're not guaranteed more money. You're guaranteed a threshold of more money. The upside with us,
greater.
Theoretically, he could
be.
In fact, I would say if he gets back up to where your salary, which is like $2.5 million or something like that, if he gets to that number, he's going to go way above it. I think you're either not going to.
I'm either home run or fucking.
Yeah, I don't
out.
Think you're going to end up like, oh, he's back to kind of what he was making. I think if we get there, that means Barstool's exploded.
Right.
And now you're like in, and it's everything we talked about during the process. He's in the core group of a huge company. He's just a player. So that side I get. He's always going to be a player with the Colts. You know, you're going to make. He's not suddenly going to go from $2.5 million to like $10 million a year. That's not happening.
Now, I hit my max in football.
Money wise.
Now, granted, I can make more, but then if I have one, two, three bad games, I'm cut immediately as a punter. So, like, the way contracts work in the NFL, you always hear conversations after the season, like, which vet is going to get surprisingly cut? And if you ever look at it, it's all about who's making the most money.
Right.
And if you're a punter and you're making a lot of money, this happened to Britton Colquitt, who was playing for Denver. So he got cut, and now he's at Cleveland. If you get paid a lot of money in the NFL, you're expected to perform at a very high level.
If you don't, you're first
to go. And as soon as you don't, especially as a punter, as soon as you don't, you're gone. So I don't want to say that type of thing, or the money was everything, because I could have lost that job at any given time.
Yeah, but
I had four bad
thing,
games,
dude,
and fucked. I'm out.
You're fucking good.
Really good. Yeah.
I mean,
but
you're
to do
not,
that,
that's not going to happen.
But to do that, there's a lot of shit I got to give up to do that, man. The focus on kicking a ball. Now, granted, it's the easiest position in sports, probably. I mean.
Do you actually believe that? Because I feel like a lot of people are like, he's a punter, and I still think it's pretty hard to be a punter.
It's very hard to be a good punter. Like, if you throw a football, you're probably pretty good. You go to kick it, you're going to suck.
Stink, yeah.
Suck at it. But from a standpoint of getting hit and all the other shit, I mean,
it's not fun.
It's not a fun position, but I think in the game of football, it's the easiest one because there's no hand-to-hand combat.
Right. Right.
There's no
hand-to-hand combat. You're not a lineman in the trenches or a running back getting his brains
But
mashed
for
in.
Me, the way Barstool and the way Dave and Erica set this all up, this was the most fair opportunity I would have ever gotten in my entire life. No network would ever sign me because any of the stories I tell about being drunk, I mean, my public intoxication and the fact that I am infatuated with the word fuck, I would be completely banned from any network. So this is just
perfect fit here.
Perfect. Absolutely perfect fit. Now, granted, everybody on my in my life was very positive about it, even on Twitter. Very overwhelmingly positive
They're
response.
Lying.
Which I didn't respect. Yeah. The only negative was you as I walk onto the comedy, like as
surprise.
I'm coming out of the bus. I'm like, oh man, this is really happening. And I walk out. I'm like, yeah, let's fucking do this. Everybody's real excited. I see my lady, my other friends. Everybody's like, yeah, let's go. Colt Anderson, a guy I played with, like, this is awesome. And I get on stage. You go, worst decision I've ever seen somebody make. And I was like, great. So maybe we should question.
That's the KFC effect.
No, that is KFC. That's also the truth. That is, it's a crazy decision, dude. You could have at least just done it for a few more years and made a couple more million.
But I'm going to say this, and the comparison doesn't hold because we're talking about comedy, and obviously it's a very different subject, but there's an element, the only thing that I could compare it to is there's an element of the Pat Tillman where he's just like, this is right. This is what I got to do. It's apples and oranges on what we're comparing him.
Yeah, I'm not a hero.
Correct. We're not saying that.
Not yet.
But it's somebody who's like, somebody in his gut who's like, you know what? I'm not obsessed with the money. This is what I want to do. This is what I feel is right. I'm going to just chase it and do it. So, you know, it's very rare. We had this question at the house. How many people, you weren't there after the show. It was PFT and I talking. I said, I don't think there's five people in the world, knowing the facts, unless you just have a busted knee and it's like the next time you punt it, your leg's going to fly off. But assuming you're healthy, I'd say five people in the world
would pull the trigger and make this decision.
And I don't say that's the wrong decision because there's nobody.
It's a ballsy decision.
There's nobody.
It's not wrong.
That's all I've done with Barstool my whole life.
So in 10 years, people will look back on this decision for me, and I know this, and the intelligence of this decision will be based on my financial success in everybody's mind. But for me, I think making the decision to have the freedom to do whatever the fuck I want to do, I think is going to lead to success. And especially because Barstool right now is a rocket ship. I'm lucky that I got in. I tell Dave this. I'm lucky that you guys let me join, basically. And I just hope that we turn this into something awesome and make the world a happier place.
Yeah, we will. You need to stop, like, thanking him so much, though. First rule, we're going to show you the ropes here. Like,
fuck
this guy. Yeah. We got the newest Barstool employee, ex-NFL punter, Pat McAfee's in the building. You do look exactly like Triple H.
I've heard that. I had my long hair there for a while, too. I got a big snaz. We kind of got an interesting face. He has a lot more muscles than I do, for sure, but I take that as a compliment.
You're a WWF guy?
Yeah, I'm a big fan. I used to be, at least, a diehard fan, like everybody was.
Yeah, I
feel... I grew up in the Attitude Era.
Oh, the best.
Yeah, the best.
The absolute best. I mean, I think pound for pound, the Attitude Era was just the greatest entertainment ever, period.
TV.
Movies, TV, everything.
Yeah, it was great.
That era was unbelievable.
And when I finally got some money, I was a big fan. And when I finally got some money, I blacked out one night and got on the internet and found out you could buy a professional wrestling ring. And I guess I bought it because 3 days later, I was trying to get mail at my house. I walked out and this dude pulls up in an 18-wheeler. And he's like, where should I put this? I ain't never delivered one of these to a residence before. And I was like, what is it? He was like, a professional wrestling ring. I was like, I think you're at the wrong house, man. And he's like, are you a Pat motherfucking McAfee? I was like, blacked out Pat found out he can buy a wrestling ring.
So how much does a wrestling ring cost?
Well, I had to dig back in to find out.
Check your Amazon orders.
Yeah, I had to dig back in and find out. It was $3,800, which is a lot less. I bet you blacked out Pat said,
what a steal.
I thought this would be a lot more.
I would have said 10.
Yeah,
you know, so anything under 10, I think, is a steal.
Yeah, so I got.
So you have one, what, in your backyard?
In a barn. Yeah, I got a barn. Yeah, it's in the barn.
I got a barn.
Yeah.
Do you use it?
I've used it a few times. It's the ropes hurt a lot more than you think
it
would.
I can see that.
And the floor hurts a lot more.
Yeah, it's not like you're on a bed.
Yeah, and I got some friends, you know, that are pretty big and athletic. So when we get intoxicated at the house, everybody wants to go and jump on the ring, right?
Yeah.
So everybody wants to do it. And they want to go off the top rope and shit.
That's how white people die.
It's a very white people. Yeah, not one of my black teammates has ever tried to do this. But it's a very white person thing, and they all end up in the same way, and it's just hard for. But I own one. Yeah, so I'm a big fan.
Sounds like you're also a big fan of drinking.
By the way, you know that Comedy Central played the crowd. That was a fuck up. They played the crowd noise.
I didn't want to tell you this because I feel
in
like
the press conference on Comedy Central.
Totally so they didn't even hear it.
No, they
could hear it, but it kind of
like Now, whatever.
So, are we going after Comedy Central for this bullshit?
It was a major fuck up by them. They
admitted
it. The
video was fucking funny, man.
It was a good
video. So, it didn't come across the right way with crowd noise. But
yeah, but it's the internet. Right. The internet. It's on the internet.
The internet is perfect. But the press conference that we came up with, you came up with a script and all that, your own party, as I call it, you showed up half an hour late.
Yeah.
So we had Greg Olson was there waiting. Yeah. We had Rappaport waiting. Yep. Like, when the fuck is this guy who
Vinatieri was there waiting to in the lobby.
Yeah, everyone's waiting. So we basically had our whole company there just sitting there like, where's the guy who we're doing this? So half an hour late. Today, you're like, I'll see you at the RV at noon. I think 17 minutes late. Yeah. So I don't know if we're just kind of, this is like two Rams right now, the hustle.
I
want to
let you know, punctuality is a big thing. 8 years in the NFL, I was never late for a meeting.
You can't be there,
anything.
Right?
Yeah, you get fined a lot of money.
You're just coming in late and doing Adderall. The two things you've ever always wanted to do.
Yeah, this is a big fuck you day for me. Yeah. I want you to understand it. No, I don't know Houston, obviously, as well as I thought I did. And every time for yesterday, I thought we were a lot closer because I looked on Uber, right? I checked Uber for how long of a trip it was. They said it's 17 minutes was the original destination. So I was like, okay. So I hopped in the shower. I come back, and I have 20 minutes to get there. So I hit it. I'm like, Uber, here you go. Uber picks me up. All of a sudden, I get in a car. They're like 40 minutes. I'm like, wait a fucking minute. You are 23 minutes off here. This is a big fucking deal. And when I walked into that room, and the entire company is sitting there, never in my life have I ever felt, well, this is fucking awkward, isn't it? And then I'm happy we got through it. I'm happy you guys waited for me. But that is not a normal thing.
Okay.
Just like I think Houston's just been kind of fucking with my game a little bit here, you know? I respect everything. It's hustle, man. I respect Bieber's hustle.
Absolutely.
I think he's made some fuckboy decisions.
Right.
A lot of them. But if I was his age, attractive as he was, as successful as he was,
it would be a lot worse.
That's like just like Manziel. Like Johnny Manziel. People talk about him. If I was a guy who had a Heisman my freshman year and I had the party DNA in my body, I'd be dead.
Yeah,
I'd be fucking 100%. Dead. So I think all the criticism that goes to him, I understand it because everybody's like, you have so many opportunities. But I'm just happy the guy's still alive.
Yeah, for real.
I mean, who knows what's going to
happen. I wonder if you're going to get sucked into Club Dave. You sound like you could get sucked into Club Dave life. Me and Manziel have been out like a lot since Club Dave came up.
You don't seem like a club
guy. I don't club much. It's not my thing. I mean, you saw me there because I had nothing else to do.
That's fair.
I
watched you operate at Kirby last night after the show. You're a bar guy.
Yeah,
I will say.
Sat down, grab some beers.
Yeah, you don't find many. The day after we signed him and he's here, the first Kirby, we all have the truck. Everyone's hanging out in the corner. You just disappeared in a shit face somewhere.
He was blacked out. He goes, I just ordered one of everything from the food truck. I'm going to be back there. Yeah. All right, Pat.
Like, we literally have people, like, shoving to get in that little area. And FYI, like, we never want to be the diva group, but it's an area that's the size of, like, a quarter.
It's so small.
And everyone's bringing, like, 10 guys. It's tough to even move around in there. Like, I'm just trying to get our subjects, and I can't even, like, move for a pen.
Yeah, I saw Erica. I'd walked in, and Erica was like, obviously, running 1,000 miles an hour. You guys got so much shit going on. She's like, oh, come see us at the bus. Come in the bus. I'm like, okay, I will. And I walked in there, and I was like standing there. I was like, get
out of here.
This is real. I'm gonna go sit in the back.
Yeah. Valentine's Day is right around the corner. Tired of guessing what she wants? Wouldn't you love an easy, fail-proof way to look like a pro? This year, Pro Flowers is making it easier than ever by taking all the guesswork out. On top of their already low prices, right now you can get 24 assorted roses with a free glass vase. Is a vase or vase? I'm going with vase for $29.99 plus shipping and handling. Or upgrade, and for $9.99 more, you can get 24 long-stem assorted roses with premium vase and chocolate. Just go to proflowers.com and use my code DAVEP. Help support our show by supporting our sponsors. Use my code DAVEP. Pick your flowers. Check out in 2 minutes. Here's the only way to get 24 assorted roses with free glass vase starting at $29.99. Go to proflowers.com. Use my code DAVEP. That's proflowers.com. Click on the microphone and type in my code DAVEP. Don't wait. Order today. This deal expires soon. And we've all been where, oh, it's Valentine's Day. It's right around the corner. What are you going to buy? Get it taken care of. Proflowers.com. Montbeau, New York City-based startup. You've heard it. They have great jeans. You've heard us promote them. All our guys here wearing them now. You can buy them. You get two pairs. pick which one fits, send back the one that doesn't at no cost. These are like $200-$300 looking jeans, great denim, great fabrics, comfortable. They're $95. You get 20% off your first purchase. Use the code PREZ. 20% off your first purchase. Use the code PREZ. Upgrade to ridiculously comfortable premium handcrafted jeans. You'll feel the difference when you put them on. Premium denim equals insane comfort. Again, wide selection, washes, fits, unique denims, more than just your standard blue jean. These jeans are already underpriced for the quality, but the deal gets even better for Stoolies. Go to montandbow.com. That's montandbow.com and use a promo code PREZ for 20% off. MOTTANDBOW.com. Wear the jeans the bloggers wear. Use the code PREZ, 20% off, montandbow.com.
It's Barstool Radio 93 The Rush. I'm sitting here. Dave Portnoy is here, but I'll be doing hosting duties. We sound good.
Yeah,
we sound great.
I don't know what's going on. I mean,
I'll tell you what happened.
Commotion.
So we are going. I am going to do the show very, very hungover. Last night it was supposed to be Caleb and Roan, your usual co-hosts. Feidelberg talks me into this. He's like, "Fuck it, let's do it. Come on, me and you, man. Let's go. Let's go. We'll talk about this. We'll talk about that." Okay, fine. Feidelberg nowhere to be found. Can't wake him up. Alyssa said that she kicked him in the face this morning. He's dead weight. He's luggage. This is a classic Feidelberg move.
Classic Feidelberg move.
I mean, he's done this 1,000 times. I can't believe I let myself get duped into it. I'm the real idiot here. Me.
I don't know what you would have done if you had to sit. You were gonna sit here for 2 hours by yourself.
I don't know either. I woke up like 2 minutes before you, man. I woke up at 10:30, rolled over. Half an hour later, we're on the air. So here's Davey Page. Dave, I don't know how you do this, man.
Club Dave?
Yeah, I mean, I know how you do it. You do drugs, but I...
Well, I don't go out.
I can't do it.
I mean, I really don't, for the most part, go out on work days. So, and I mean, I didn't really go out last night. I'm not hungover at all.
Oh, all right. Well,
I'm just tired.
That's one of us then.
I'm just fucking tired.
Well, the it's like a snowball effect because every single night you get like 2 hours.
Less sleep.
We got Pat McAfee joining us here.
Guys, big night last night.
Newest member of Barstool last night at Kirby Ice House. Pat is coming as a new member of Barstool. He's coming to see the show.
Excited.
And what happened?
Not just showing I'm excited.
He is ready to go, and he gets kicked out of the bar that we have basically taken over and like own stake in at this point.
Immediately, too.
I don't understand that at all.
He didn't get in the door.
Didn't even get in.
So listen to how it goes down. Tell us how it goes, Pat.
Dave, I didn't even get in. So we show up at Kirby's Ice House, and there's a long line to get in. You guys have done a great job for them. I don't know if they're always popular. You told me that yesterday, but I feel like...
I think they are.
I don't know, but boy, everybody in there is a Stoolie.
Packed it, yeah.
Yeah, the place is packed out. So we show up, and I've been there...
When'd you get there? What time?
Four nights in a row, 11 o'clock.
Okay.
It was as the show was starting.
Okay.
Well, because I took that Adderall, and then I passed out real hard.
The crash.
The crash.
I passed out so hard.
I'll come down, I'll get you.
Didn't set an alarm, and my lady passed out, and she wakes up, she's like, hey, we got to get over to Kirby's. I think the show is starting pretty soon. I don't know the rules. So my one friend, A.Q. Shipley's in town. He's the center for the Arizona Cardinals. His lady, Todd's there, my girl's friend's there, so 6 of us. We arrive, and AQ has to piss immediately on deck as soon as we get there.
Great name, by the way.
Yeah,
AQ
Shipley.
Yeah, it's really solid.
Big-time name. Never heard of him, but big-time name.
Penn State. Yeah. Did you say Big Ten name?
No, I said...
Never heard of him.
Big-time name.
Oh, I thought you said Big Ten name.
No.
Jesus Christ, never heard of it. You're actually 100% right. So we get there, and there's this
Man of the people waiting on the line, by the way.
Good
for you.
Long line.
I don't think Page Views would have waited on that line.
Not when I'm part of the company that's throwing the show, no.
Well, I think that's an interesting dilemma that I had in my head that was happening. So we show up. AQ has to piss on site. There's a long line at the front, so there's like some porta-johns in the back. AQ goes to get in the back, can't get into the porta-johns because they're connected to the inside or something. Like, he couldn't get in. I have no idea. I didn't follow him. So I'm like, all right, let's just go inside here. You'll piss. It's literally as soon as we walk in. And AQ is like a gigantic human. He's a big, round dude. Short arms, though. Has hurt him his entire career.
Short arms.
Yeah,
believe.
You're a center.
You kind of need him.
Yeah, he's had 14 transactions in the NFL in his 8 years there. Incredible story. Loves the party. Really good dude. But he and I are real tight. But so he has to piss like real bad. So we get there. He's with his fiance now. and we're waiting in line. It's me and my lady up first, and the big group in front of us gets in because they're at max capacity. So we were just going to be the next group in, and we're standing there. As soon as we get to the front, the one bouncer like puts his arm across my girlfriend's like chest right underneath her tits, and is like, "You guys can't go in." And we're like, "Yeah, we know. We just saw the whole process.
We know how lines work."
And the
I'm
guy
not
was
in
just
yet.
Holding his arm on her like right under her tits, and she was like, "You can stop touching me. You know, like you don't have to. We're not going in anywhere." And he's like, "Oh, you're gonna be ignorant." And she was just like, "Okay, right?" Like
that. I'm surprised it didn't pop off right there.
Well, I was completely sober.
Yeah, I think otherwise.
If I had anything in me, and if AQ didn't have to piss so bad, AQ knocks that guy out on sight.
You can't fight a guy when you got to piss so bad.
First day at Barstool, I get arrested at the Barstool bar. I saw it happening in my head. Like, as the guy was like, "You don't have to be ignorant." I'm like, "God, these fucking headlines. Hey, Barstool's about to be banned from everything. If I get arrested."
We're talking about what a great hire it was. How stupid. Oh, past, like, who's the stupid ones?
So we're sitting there, and we can't get in. The guy's like, "How many you got?" And we're like, "There's six of us." He's like, "Oh, six people got to come out for you guys to get in." And Todd's there, and Todd's like, "I think Pat has to go on TV soon." Like, I'm being serious here. I think Pat's going on TV soon at the show that's here. And he's like, "You got a credential?" I'm like, "No."
People kept asking me for that, too. Like, where's your Barstool badge? I haven't had a badge at all.
I was like, "I actually don't." Just
there was no badging that. Listen, that played into my fight. All this stuff that we're talking about a little bit.
Hold on, if this just is getting started. It's only this is just getting started.
I'm not cutting you off. I don't cut people off. This is the Pat McAfee show, not the Dave Portnoy show.
Welcome, by the way. So the guy's like, "Well, six people have to leave before you can get in." I'm like, "All right, we'll wait then. I guess."
So is that capacity?
It was at capacity. Yep. You guys did your job, right? So I'm sitting there, and I get a text from Erica, and she's like, "Where are you?" I'm like, "Funny you say." I'm literally sitting at the door. She's like, "I'll come get you." Okay, so she sends Alyssa out. Alyssa comes, and she's like, "They're with us." And he's like, "Can't come in." And she's like, "He works for Barstool. Like, he's going on TV here in a couple minutes. He has to be in here." And he's like, "Oh, why didn't you say that to me?" I'm like, "Well, I'm not just going to walk up here and tell you to go fuck yourself. I work here. Like, I respect your..." Right. I actually told him, like, "I respect your position." Like, I was trying to be nice.
It's a tough spot.
Right. I was trying to be nice to this little fucking bouncer. And there's another one over here on the left, right? And they're just mean mugging us. And Alyssa goes, "Well, he has to go." Alyssa grabs my hand. So I grab my lady's hand. My lady grabs her friend's hand, right? And we're just going to do, like, the chain straight through, right? So Alyssa walks with me. And the guy who had his hand underneath my lady's tits puts his hand, he goes, "Do you work for Barstool?" Puts his arm across her tits, right? Right across her tits, goes, "You can't get in. You don't work for Barstool." I turn around, I'm like, "Why do you keep touching my fucking girlfriend?" Right? And as soon as I said it, he goes, "Calm down, sir." And his other bouncer friends puts his arms up under my arms. Two cops that are sitting at the front come over with flashlights. I literally just woke up. I had not had a single thing to drink at this point. And they go, "You're going to have to get the fuck out of here. Kick me out. Like, escort me out." Alyssa's like, "What the fuck just happened?" I said, "I have no idea."
I need Alyssa's recount of this event. Yeah. Do we have this?
No, they have cameras, though. So we go.
God, can we get footage of Pat getting kicked out of the bar?
You watched the footage?
No, but just wait. This is not over yet. So I go outside, and I'm like standing on the side. And AQ's like, "I am about to piss my fucking pants."
This poor guy has to pee.
I am about to pee right now. I was like, "Just pee in between those cars over there, you know?" He's like, "I can't do that. They're probably watching us right now. You just got kicked out." So Alyssa sends me a text. She's like, "Come back. I'm with the manager." I'm like, "Awesome." Right? So I walk back, and I get there, and there's this little lady manager. And she's like, "Sorry, you didn't have a credential. They was doing their job." I was like, no. This guy was not doing his job. Like, this guy's a piece of shit. Yeah. I pointed right at this little guy right here is a piece of shit. And he was like, "Oh, you're going to disrespect me? You're a piece of shit. Just shut up," right? And she's like, Alyssa's like, "Okay, Pat, come on." You know, I was like, "No. I want an apology. I want an apology from this guy and the guy that grabbed me. I want an apology from both of you." And he's like, "I'm not doing an apology. I didn't do anything. There's cameras everywhere." I was like, "I fucking hope there is. You know, I hope there is. And I said, "I'm not going." Alyssa's like, "Let's go." I'm like, "Nope. I want an apology for that guy. And I want an apology for that guy." And the manager was like, "Will you please apologize to the bouncer?" And you could tell, like, a little kid, like, getting scolded by, like, his parents.
They want you or?
No, would you please apologize?
The manager was telling the bouncer to apologize. Because I was like, I just want an apology. I want an apology from you, and I want an apology from you. And the guy over here was like, "I didn't touch anybody." I was like, "You aren't the one that just gripped me up and kicked me out." "Yeah, I did do that." I'm like, "Okay, I want an apology." And the manager, like, made them both. They're like, "Sorry for the misunderstanding." I was like, "Yeah, I'll take that. But that wasn't a real apology. And we walked in, and I literally went straight onto the stage, like as I was walking back.
Yeah, you came running in, just like, I just got kicked out.
I was like, literally just got kicked out. Kicked out right onto your stage. And on the way out, so now I got to see him again. And at this point, I've had a couple pops. And I walk out, and he's standing there, like with a little douchebag face. And I go, hey, that apology earlier wasn't genuine. But I'll take a real one right now if you want. And he didn't say a word. I shook his hand. I said, you're the best. And just kept it moving right into an Uber.
Pat McAfee show invades Barstool day one.
I'm very surprised that on your way out, after you had been drinking, that it was as cordial as it was.
Beers only. So my new motto.
That's your new rule,
2017,
right?
I do only beers. I'll chug a beer if somebody's taking shots.
Right. But it's the same, but it's not.
But it's not. Shots are an instant blackout.
Right. I mean, it's a different drunk.
And it's horrible decisions.
We built up an entire week of goodwill at this place. I mean, they're giving us hats. They're carrying us around on thrones.
Let's be clear, they have been awesome.
In those old Arabian movies, like when you put somebody in the Iranian elephant.
You guys were
and
princes.
And Pat McAfee shows up for 3 seconds and flushes it down the fucking toilet.
Fuck that guy.
Took 3.7 seconds for them to be like, who are these Barstool guys? This Pat McAfee's asshole. We're going to have to keep you caged in Indiana. You said you want to come to New York. You stay in Indiana.
This is not the end. This is just the beginning. It's only going to be more stories like this.
Got kicked out of your bar, but I was literally
That's Jerry Thornton-esque type stuff.
Three nights in a row I was there. I spent a lot of money there. Yeah, what's that mean?
Who's Jerry Thornton does that kind of shit?
Thornton got booted out of the White Party. It's one of the most famous. Like,
I don't think I know this.
Our first major event. I'm talking like it's got to be 12 years ago. Yeah. We threw this huge White Party, like 2,000-3,000 people. Fancy event. Everyone wore white. It's all young. It's at a club. Like it was early Club Dave. And
the beginnings.
The owner tapped me on the shoulder halfway through. He goes, one of your guys got thrown out. I'm like, who the fuck is it? We were all young at that time. We were mid-20s.
So you were scared a little bit.
I didn't know who. I was like, what'd they do? It was fucking Jerry. Jerry Thornton was still the resident old guy. Old balls. That's what people call him. He's older than.
No, I mean, Jerry's like ancient. Jerry's
Jerry's
like
old balls.
Really?
Todd's
how old's Todd? Todd.
Todd, how old are you?
45.
Oh, yeah. Way older than
he's 55.
Old balls. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, old balls.
I like Jerry style. If you're 80 years old getting kicked out of a fucking white party, I'm all
it
about
was
that.
Unbelievable. I thought, I was like, no, you got the wrong guy. It's not one of our guys. No way Thornton got the boot. Walk out there, Jerry's just standing out there.
Did he come back in?
No, they wouldn't let him back in.
Wow.
I still don't totally know what he did. There's rumors like he had girls making out. I don't know what it was.
So he did a Barstool.
I don't know what happened. Alleged. To this day, it is an alleged Jerry Old Balls Thornton just getting the boot out of the White Party.
I mean, we might need the Thornton and McAfee show.
I was about to say, I think I like this. This guy, my dad.
All right, we're back. Barstool Radio. Do we finally have Mike Portnoy Esquire on the phone?
Yes.
All right, let's do it.
This should be very interesting. I've only talked to him a little bit.
Mike, Mr. Portnoy, are you on the line?
Gregson.
I'm here.
Hey, what's up, man? How you doing?
How you doing, KFC?
We're doing very well. We've been getting a lot of feedback from media, from fans, from family members, but nobody's really telling us. No one's shooting us straight. Everyone's just telling us, great job. You killed it. You're great, blah, blah, blah. So we want to hear the real deal. I don't know, however you want to do it. You want to go show by show? You want to grade the whole week?
We're grading the Comedy Central shows, Dad.
What's that?
What are we grading here, the Comedy Central shows?
Yeah, but I got a quick question for Pat.
Oh
boy.
I've got a lot of these this week. Yes, sir.
No, this is... Did you have a relative that was also a kicker years ago?
No, I don't think so. Did I? I don't think so, though.
Michael Porton, Esquire from the clouds.
Coming in hot. Why do you ask that, Mike?
Take.
I thought there was somebody else that was also a kicker named with the same last name.
Just out of pure memory, Dad, you're talking?
I respect that.
Pure memory as opposed to what kind of memory?
Well, I don't know if you looked it up, but I mean, no. I'm saying I don't know if you saw something.
David,
I know you that you
going.
Can't remember what you had for breakfast yesterday,
I understand
so you're
that,
digging
David,
back into
David,
your
the way it
annals
would go
and
is,
your dead brain to wonder what.
I have to explain this, David. The way it would go is, in my pure memory, I would think maybe there was someone, and then I would Google it. I wouldn't Google it and think maybe this guy had a relative. There was a kicker for no reason. That's not how it works, right?
So it's his memory and Google's.
You Googled it.
after I, but first I had some of my
that was the longest
memory.
Explanation of I Googled.
So did you find anything on Google?
He had a thought.
Well, Bob, what do you think? If I asked Pat and I had found something, the question would have been phrased a little differently, right?
So you found nothing on the internet, no professional kickers named McAfee.
Google's memory.
And, but you found no evidence of this thought, but you thought you'd overpower maybe your brain, which you can't remember what you had for breakfast, was better than the internet Google in their search
well,
mechanism.
Sounded like Pat.
So
it
despite the fact
like
you didn't find anything, you were still going to ask Pat.
Hey, I do want to let you know, I am not sure. For future reference,
thank
I am not
you,
sure.
Pat.
No problem.
Thank
I got your back,
that,
boss.
That answered the question. I'm here with your mother. We just had a discussion about a parking place, in air quotes. But we got a parking place. And
okay. A what?
So I just.
I don't understand this
accent. Spot.
A parking spot?
Yeah, never mind. Anyway, let's get back to the grading. I thought that the whole thing was a solid B. I told you, I think, and when we. To do the exchange messages. The only thing that I consistently, and I know, David, you disagree with this, I thought the audience was a very kind of a distraction to the whole thing. I thought I had a hard time hearing some of the things you were saying.
Even on the last show?
It was better on the last show.
Yeah, last night we had new mics and new speakers. Yeah, it was supposed to be a non-issue.
I haven't disagreed with what you've said. I said it's not our problem. We went to do a live set with the understanding if we're doing it in a bar at 11 p.m. on a night, it's going to be loud and you can't ask people to be quiet. But we'd assume we've never done this. The people who are the crew would have the setup and under control. It wouldn't be their first rodeo. There is certainly ways to do live sets where you can hear properly. The crew was learning as we were learning, which was not ideal, but it wasn't our crew. By the time Thursday rolled around, we were getting closer. There is clearly ways to do a live audience where you can still hear the people on the panel. In that case, I think it adds a lot. It makes it a lot more electric.
I also think that they were very taken aback by our crowd. Like, the producers at one point were talking to me. They were like, usually you have to, like, really rile up a crowd. They get bored. They get quiet. Your fans will stand here for five straight hours and be energetic.
Yeah.
I was like, live audience. I don't think they're ready for that.
Live audience is good for everything.
Yes.
Because jokes hit. People at home know that they can laugh. That type of stuff. But I think there was. And
it
was I told you this on Wednesday morning when I came here because I watched from the crowd on Tuesday. So I got there on Tuesday.
But the Wednesday was by far the worst setup.
Well, and I told you Wednesday morning because Tuesday night I was at the show. I was in the crowd and I was around a bunch of kids that were drunk and they had no idea when they were supposed
to scream. Right. You couldn't hear it. But
yeah.
To me, those aren't Barstool issues. Hey, everybody. It's Barstool Radio. We are still in Houston. I'm joined here with Hank and Gaz, sales guy, just ran to go get Feidelberg at another one of our houses. He's passed out cold. It's the Brady 4, hopefully, edition of Barstool Radio. And everybody's kind of hurting because we were up all night celebrating what, again, was one of the most amazing football games of all time. The four of us have been to four Super Bowls. You've only been to these two, right, Hank? These
mm-hmm.
two. All of us have only been, well, Feidelberg, this is his first one. Paul, myself, and Hank, this is our second Super Bowl we've ever been to. Seattle being the first one, this one being the second one. Probably the two greatest football games ever played, ever. Two of the greatest wins. So everything's great, but it's very tired. Hank, I just woke him up. I literally was walking around. Like, I don't know who I'm going to do the show with. And Pete, you're like, you got to go get somebody. So I went and got Hank, who got up, and we're going to go try to Paul just went to wrangle Feidelberg, who was really hurting, get him out of bed. But overall, just a great game. We'll take calls. We'll talk Patriots. We'll talk post-party, which we were at. So that was – who was the post-party? John Legend. Old Dominion, Lil Wayne. And I don't know who went last. We left.
Nope, Lil Wayne went last.
No, it was another person coming on.
Really?
Yeah, I think Snoop.
Oh.
But it was like 4 a.m., and the place was cleared out.
Lil Wayne was it for me. That was like the best. I don't want to say it was better than Rick Ross, but it was pretty fun.
Lil Wayne was awesome. The party wasn't as good. The party was not nearly as exclusive feeling,
mm-hmm.
and there was more like VIP rooms of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, you know, people are separated more. It felt more corporate is what it did. I mean, Lil Wayne, the entire team was up there, so that was cool. And you're never going to see Lil Wayne or probably not when you're like super close. And if you really want to get on the stage, you probably could. I did the rundown, and I thought I said this. We'll start with this. I said I thought Brady played great the whole game, and Dan was like, no, he didn't. The pick six and whatnot, which was obviously a bad throw, but he was under so much pressure that I thought he was making. The whole game, I'm like, oh, he's on. He's throwing like great passes. So that was one point. You know, it's always different when you watch a game in the stands versus like watching on TV. But from the stands, I thought he was fucking awesome.
Yeah, so, you never had the feeling that he was playing bad.
No. And even like that pick, it was a bad play. But he was under so much pressure.
Threw it 65 times. It's just like, that's going to happen.
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of what I thought. Now, where were your seats, by the way? Where did you and Feidelberg sit?
Me and Feidelberg sat in the top corner, like in the last row. So we had a nice bird's eye view of the whole event.
Was it a Patriots section or?
It was a lot of Patriots. There was a surprising amount of Falcons people there, though. I didn't give them a lot of credit. It was probably like 60-40.
Yeah, I think that's my thing on Super Bowl. You can't judge by what's outside the stadium because they allot the tickets. I'd say it was 60-40, something like that. What about, and I said this the entire, obviously, I thought there was a chance they could lose. Like, I mean, you don't want to be down 28-3, clearly. Like, when the second half, at halftime, I was fully confident that we'd have the ball with the chance to take the lead at one point. When we got the ball, they got the ball. They went three and out, and then we didn't score, and they scored. I was like, oh, this is starting to look a little bit iffy. But we answered right away. So it was never, once we answered, it was like never totally out of reach. So I honestly thought we were going to win the whole time. I never was like, this game's over. Yeah, it was a miracle comeback. I've said, I think, in terms of having no shot, like Seattle game was over. So to me, that game was still the more remarkable of the two. This is the greatest comeback of all time. But it I don't know. I just never was like, maybe it's my old gambling mind. I was looking at the clock. I was never like, oh, they have no chance.
I thought it was over. I left the stadium.
Oh, yeah. You did your move again.
Yeah. It was the same thing as 2 years ago, except I felt way worse about it this year. Like, the whole game, it was just like, they're going to lose, they're going to lose, they're going to lose. And then the last-ditch effort, I walked out in, like, the beginning of the fourth quarter and was just bumming a cig with some kid, and they scored. And I was like, all right. I was like, I don't know about you. I was like, but I'm staying out here superstition-wise. And I basically made some kid stand outside with me. And he watched the game from outside, watching through the window on a TV, and then I just watched his reaction.
Frankie Borelli, a Jets fan, was even in there, and he was like, "This is all right. This is pretty amazing. This is wild right now."
It was electric.
It was unbelievable.
It was wild.
Frankie, you gave me a big hug when you saw me. Like, congratulations.
Yeah, it was a good moment. Like, we were sitting outside of the stadium in the parking lot, me and Alyssa. I was like, this game's over. It's going to suck picking these guys up. I'm nervous. I'm like, I don't want to pick them up. And all of a sudden, it started coming back. I was like, I was pacing around the parking lot.
That was my moment of the game. Because Hank had left. Hank, in the fourth quarter, Hank just gives me a little hit. He goes, I got to go somewhere else. And I didn't know what the fuck he was talking about. And he came back after the fourth quarter. He came back right before overtime. And the entire section was like, get the fuck out of here. Maybe he wasn't coming back to like watch the game. He was just coming back to give me a drink or something like that.
I was just coming, dap it up.
But and then everyone was like, "I know Hank not being here was the reason they came back. Now get the hell out of here, dude."
Frankie, do you have the boo clip?
Yes.
I was booing louder and more aggressively than anything I've ever done in my life. My arms were flailing. I was screaming like I was like doing 180s. Like Paul was trying to get my face because he was behind me and we wanted to videotape it. I didn't care. Like I was just literally screaming to like pass out point of booze. It was insane.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's why my head hurts so bad.
Yeah, it was the booing. It was the booing. Cadell like almost paralyzed everybody in that crowd. That's what everybody's waiting for.
A lot of times when chants like that go on for so long, you kind of just get bored of it.
Yeah.
Booing, I did not get bored of it.
No, and
not
then
for
he
a
like
single second.
He ran off stage too. Who told me, was it Andrews or was it
Zolak?
That he wouldn't go on or Zolak said Brady wouldn't go on stage with Cadell.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what he said. He refused to go on stage with him. So
that was what you just like, you just casually dropped that. That was a big thing you just said.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're not gonna, I don't think we're gonna credit that source because I don't know if that was him that said it, but someone said that at the post party.
Are you just protecting him?
No, I just don't remember if it was him or not. There's also someone else that said they told Goodell to like get the fuck out after he
yeah,
walked
yeah,
off.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah, who was that? Who was that? Yeah.
I don't remember.
Yeah, yeah, they told him to get the fuck out of here.
He's like, I swear on my life.
Yeah. Who was that? I forget who that was. What? No, who? Somebody else said that. All the Patriots players were laughing. Everyone was laughing at Cadell when he was getting. He turned into a dunce, a clown. One of our absolutely miserable employees, Kevin Clancy, Mets, Jets, Knicks fan. You suck, man. By the way, I sung "Rise, Patriots, Rise" live with Mike Studd on stage.
Was Tico Texas? Were you with Tico Texas the other day?
No.
She was in Houston.
Yeah, she tweeted at me, watch but it. Didn't get it. Kevin Clancy, resident miserable fuck at Barstool Sports. Roots for the worst teams. The worst teams. He's been reduced to, he has to root for teams playing other teams, like the opponents of teams we like. So because he's a Jets fan, he has nothing to root for. So then he just is forced to do the opposite. I want to read some of the things he was tweeting during the game. He wrote this blog. Portnoy's tweets, mine versus my tweets, sums out how just sick and twisted Super Bowl, I don't even know, L.I. was. Is that what they call it?
Super Bowl Lee.
Lee.
Who the fuck calls it Super Bowl Lee, Hank?
Out of T and it's Super Bowl Lit.
Lit. This is Kevin's blog. Super Bowl Lee. L.I. was a Shakespearean tragedy. 60 minutes of intense dramatics with the bad guy winning and the losers of the world, Atlanta and people like myself, taking the most improbable yet simultaneously so probable football loss of all time. I present to you tonight's game as told by the biggest Patriot fan and the biggest Patriots hater on planet Earth. Me on a roller coaster from hell, tweeting like an asshole despite knowing how this movie ends every time. Portnoy is cool and as relaxed as can be because he too knows how the movie ends every time. The juxtaposition is almost poetry, and it makes me want to puke from 8:30 to 11:30 p.m. KFC, 8:30 p.m. He tweeted out the picture of Gaga jumping off like that thing. Pats fans realizing they're about to lose the Super Bowl. KFC, hey, at least Boston had a nice sports moment today with Paul Pierce. One out of two ain't bad. 7:53 p.m., consult the Patriots. Roger Goodell, still undefeated. 8:06 p.m.
Winner. Oh, my God. Can you imagine just having these things leave your fingertips?
When it rains, it pours. The Pats stink. They stink. 8:06 p.m., biggest game in franchise history, and the Pats decide to play like the Jets with like 1,000 crying smiley face emoticons. 9:30 p.m., Tom Brady will score here. And I will get very nervous. 9:45 p.m. Goddamn Pats are winning the Super Bowl again. 9:45 to 10:30 p.m. It's the work of the devil. More importantly, why does this keep happening? How does this keep happening? I hate life. Portland is going to win this again. That's helmet catch times a billion. 10:06 p.m. Life is the worst. Dave Portnoy is the worst. I don't like him. That's it. That's the one. That's the worst loss I'll ever experience at this company. Me on the other side. 7:25. Somebody made a crying Jordan face of myself. I said, talk to me at the end of the game. Then halftime. Force a punt. Score. Turnover. Score. Punt. Score. We're winning. Then after we got a three and out to start the second half, I tweeted, how nervous is Atlanta right now? Then 9:25 p.m., I fucking told you, bring on Roger. And then I want blood, Falcons fans. By the way, side note, I think the Falcons franchise is dead. Like, this is, you know how we murder Frank, like we murdered the Texans, we murdered the Bengals. I have this tweet, Falcons franchise RIP 2517. You do not come back from a loss like that. That loss takes at least two decades to get back from. The Falcons, I don't even hate the Falcons, but that they will never come back from that. Ever. Ever. I love how, 9:40 p.m., I love how every time I go to a Super Bowl, the Pats win, and it's the best football game ever played. It's so fun. Then I threw out, I didn't even know Kevin was tweeting like how he was, but I did his daughter, his like young daughter, his infant daughter. I did a Shea Clancy tweet. 5,000 likes on me just tweeting Shea Clancy. And then I did the emergency press conference, suck my dick, Roger. And then I kept going, remember when Shea Clancy tried to invent the New York City curse? Remember my halftime speech? And in the end, the Falcons are exactly who we thought they were.
When we were in the car on the way down here, it was me, you, Big Cat, and Kevin, and you just casually dropped, like, I can't wait till Shay's old enough to be in a feud.
No, to know she has a rival.
Like, yeah. Wait till Shay's old enough to know she has a rival.
She does. I mean, Shay has a full-blown rival, has no idea. I can't wait till one day she's like, wow, I'm this is like, I have a Lakers Celtics type thing going on here. I didn't even know it.
And
like,
I'm eight.
Yeah, Yankees Red Sox. She has one of the most intense 8-year rivalries going ever for an 8-year-old. This breaking quote from Bill Belichick: as great as today is, in all honesty, we're 5 weeks behind at the 2017 season.
Oh my.
Is that a real quote from Belichick? It's great. Glennie, tell us about your week. Highlights, lowlights.
Highlight: the zoo was wonderful.
The zoo.
Glennie, yeah. You met like the most famous people in the world.
The zoo was
you
a good time.
You were drinking out of gold bottles with Justin Pugh. And
I mean,
the top of your week was seeing a rhinoceros?
The elephant, actually. You got really close to the elephants. They had like five elephants.
Who did you go to the zoo with?
Myself.
Shut the fuck up, Clay.
I went to the zoo. I went to Rice. I went to the University of Houston. I went did a tour of Minute Maid Park. I got to go up by the train. That was pretty cool.
What were you doing? The Tostino's tourist?
Yeah. Guy Fieri was probably the highlight. Told me I chugged like a pussy. That was the first thing he said to me.
Guy Fieri, and that's the thunder that Johnny Manziel still has. Guy Fieri is definitely a celebrity. Everybody wanted to meet him. All Guy Fieri kept asking us, where's Johnny? Where's Johnny? I want to take a picture with Johnny. Johnny this, Johnny that. Guy still brings in the club. A lot of Manziel. Manziel, we made the video. Big week. I mean, if you recap the week, McAfee signing, Comedy Central, made the video with Johnny Manziel. We got banned from, or our credentials pulled, even though it was pulled 2 years ago. First time it became public knowledge. And then it ends with the Patriots. Just absolute insanity.
Yeah. Here is your host, Dave Portnoy.
It's not Dave Portnoy. We don't know where Dave Portnoy is. We don't know if Dave Portnoy is alive. It's KFC in the studio. My girl Asa Akira back in New York in the flesh alongside Coley Mick. And, of course, the super producer, BC, Pete, and Frankie Borelli, the pizza maker. It's a whole operation. It really is. It takes a village, folks. Dave Portnoy, last you heard from him, he was falling asleep on the airwaves, literally laying on the couch in Houston asleep while he was supposed to be hosting a radio show, ranting about how he needed to rent the house we were in for another day because he couldn't get out. I don't know. I've said this so many times about Dave. He's not going to make it. You can't survive living the way he lives as a 40-year-old. He's hanging out with 20-year-olds. He's doing Adderall. He's in the club. You can't.
Is it a midlife crisis?
Is it a midlife crisis?
Is that what a midlife crisis is?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, he's got it down to a T right now.
All he needs is, like, a Porsche.
Yes, he needs to get an obnoxious car. If we didn't live in the city, he probably would already have one. He bought a stupid 1980s Bronco. That was kind of a midlife crisis sort of Jeep. So I don't know where he is. I haven't heard from him. Frankie came over to me this morning, and he just goes to me, hey. I was like, yes, I can do the radio. Don't worry.
Like, we should be more concerned because
But
he was very sick.
Yeah. Well, I'm almost 100% confident that was Adderall withdrawals. Like, all of the symptoms he was going through was, like, basic
standard drug withdrawals. Wait, why did he stop taking Adderall on such an important week?
Once he did it, he was right the fuck back up. So, I mean, I think we have the appropriate amount of concern for Dave, which is minimal, I would say, Coley.
I'm a big Dave guy.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
I will say I went through a phase where I did a lot of Adderall, and when I stopped...
You crash.
I was very sick for like a month.
Right, right.
Did your teeth start falling out of your head? Because that's something different entirely.
I think that was just a bad coincidence for Dave.
Also, I'm going through withdrawals. And part of it.
Yeah, I mean, well, he's got all sorts of symptoms. Who knows? Who cares? Not me. Dave's not here. I am. So let's do some radio. Today is... I was going to say, I mean, it's basically a holiday, almost a yearly occurrence at this
point,
Coley.
Day of the year.
My favorite day of the year, Patriots Parade Day. It just happens so fucking often. It happens almost every year.
Did you see John's tweet earlier?
No, what did he say?
He was like, shout out to all the fans out there today. They could have easily just waited till next year for better weather, but they're here today toughing it out.
Son of a bitch. Follow us on Twitter, by the way, at Barstool Radio. Tweet at us. Today is Patriots Parade Day, which means, ipso facto, it is Patrick McGillicuddy Day. Now, I'm sure I have a lot of new listeners out there from 93 The Rush, so let me just give you a little background on the Patrick McGillicuddy story. I am a Mets, Jets, Knicks, Islanders fan. I'm the biggest loser on the planet. I work for a company that is based in Boston, so I am therefore subjected to mass amounts of hate and ridicule from these guys who have won 10 titles in the past 15 years. Somebody listed it out the other day on Twitter.
Maniacal laugh from Colby Mick right there.
Seriously.
That was a super villain laugh.
He was just looking at me the whole time, and you can just see his soul just leaving it, like the remaining bits of his soul just drifting out of his body.
And so a couple years ago, there was this 11-year-old kid who was walking around the parade with a sign that said 11 years old and like eight titles. And it was a sign up on a big stick, and he was walking around smiling. And everybody tweeted this picture. They called him Sign Kid. And I wrote a blog about him, and I just said, like, hey, bud, what's up, pal? What's your name? It's probably something fucking Irish Catholic in Boston. Like, I don't know, Patrick McGillicuddy. And it just stuck. He resurfaces 2 years later, 13 years old, 9 parades. Resurfaces again today, 15 years old, 10 titles. I hate this kid so fucking much. And I just have absolutely no problem calling him like a squirmy little fuck to his internet face. Like, when I take a step back, especially now that I'm a father and a family man, I'm like, this is a little weird. But I hate him so much, I don't care.
He's growing up, though. He's growing up right in front of your eyes. He's almost to the age where you're allowed to punch him in the face.
He's probably going to get a job at Barstool soon. I would not be surprised if he's a Barstool intern and Dave just hires him on the spot and just sits him next to me for my...
With
the
sign?
Can we scrub that? Can we, like, cut that from the on-demand? Because once Dave hears that...
Dave will never listen to this.
Now
and you
it's
know
happening.
That.
Dave, if...
But I can see that being a very likely scenario.
If someone puts that in Dave's head, it's absolutely happening.
As, like, a joke that just goes too far.
It'll be, a one-day joke, and then he'll be like, why don't you stick around for a week? Why don't you stick around for a month, a year? And then all of a sudden...
Do you think this kid, like, even enjoys doing this?
So let me tell you. He was smiling when he was 11.
Okay.
13 and 15, nothing. No emotion. I'm telling you, he's not even human. He's just sitting there with a scowl on his face.
Yeah, but at that age, you don't smile for photos. That's
when you've won 10 fucking championships in your 15 years, you should be sunshine and rainbows every fucking minute of your life.
No, when you're 15, smiling is corny.
What about when you're 13?
Yeah. When you're 13, you just want to be like smoking weed with your friends.
You're not trying to be in a parade
holding a sign. His dad probably makes him do that. I bet he hates his life. And I.
Good. Good.
I bet. You know what? I bet you he does.
Good.
But in the years in between when they don't win, which are very few and far between.
Very few.
But like, he probably doesn't know what he hasn't seen. Pain. Like, it doesn't mean anything
to him.
He's
probably like, thank God I don't have to go stand in the rain holding a heavy sign with my dad who I don't even want to hang out with.
Well, there's another one weirdo on the internet. Yeah, he potentially has some sort of cousin or brother.
Doppelganger.
Yeah, because it looks exactly like him. So there's two McGillicuddies running around now.
He's going to be like, have you seen that movie Magnolia when, like, the kid that grows up to be, like, the Jeopardy genius? and like he's just a totally depressed adult, and like he peaked as a kid, and
I
like
am absolutely
his dad him. Like ruined his life. That's him.
Coley, how old are you?
I am 27.
See,
I think.
You are perfect. You and Feidelberg are perfect for
so
this
too.
Boston run, because it started when you were
13,
a teenager. All right, so maybe when you're like, if you're like 28 or 29, you're really perfect. You're still good though.
But I don't know, because I do think you do need a little bit of that like child's
misery.
Joy.
Because, okay.
Well, that's the thing. Like for 13 long, grueling years, Kevin, I felt exactly like you. It stunk. You know, you had to believe, you had to root for your team. But let's not act like I didn't have crushing losses to the fucking Yankees, who you also hate.
True.
Like,
we have a common enemy there.
Jose Offman sliding in the second, the phantom tag from Jeter. Like, it was tough. Aaron fucking Boone.
I can understand that. I think you're still a little too young to really know.
But that's the thing.
Pain,
I do.
But you experienced some of it. The curse. You were aware of the curse.
Yeah.
The Patriots stunk. You had at least some semblance of what it's like to be a shitty sports
when
fan.
When we lost to the Packers in the Super Bowl, we were down like 14, and I was just such a little idiot. There was like 3 seconds left. I was like, we could still win this. My mother's like, shut the fucking TV off.
Well, after this, now I believe that you can win literally every game.
I honestly thought, I really thought for a second the Patriots were going to somehow win in regulation.
Yeah,
I was like, he's going to throw a Hail Mary. They're going to run the kickback. I don't know. Something's going to happen.
When we ran that Fabruski, I was like, this is going to be the greatest play of all fucking time.
Yeah. So, two things. One, you need a little bit of misery first so that you can understand the happiness. Because I'm sure he's happy, but like she said, he's probably just like an average teenager rather than just being like, I am living the best life ever. Two, he's peaking too early.
For
because
sure.
This run will stop eventually.
We
maybe?
Keep saying that.
I hope. Eventually, it has to stop. And by the time it does, he's going to be like my age or older, and he's going to be like, I got a taste, a very big, delicious taste when I was a kid. And now it's like you lose your virginity when you're 15 and then you like never get to have sex again. That's kind of what it's like, because eventually he's going to go on like a multiple decade drought, because it just has to happen.
Well,
the universe has to even out.
No, well, I bet you he's going to grow up and he's going to be like, I fucking hate sports.
It just conjures
up the worst memories.
That does not happen.
Yeah,
Boston.
Not in Boston.
That's all they got out there.
It's cold, or you're like a heroin addict. Like, that's being from Boston.
Maybe he's a heroin addict.
Kevin hopes.
We don't know his
Kevin
life.
Kevin hopes so bad.
We don't know his life.
He is my arch nemesis. I hate his guts. I have no idea what his real name is, which actually surprises me the most. I'm very surprised that somebody, I mean, he's 15 years old living in Boston. He knows Barstool Sports.
Correct.
I'm sure none of his friends have reached out and been like, hey, dude, his name's actually Bobby Ryan or something. Like, it's just
Maybe it actually is Patrick McGillicuddy.
And I've decided we're calling his cousin or brother or whatever. He's Liam. It's Patrick and Liam McGillicuddy haunting my dreams as a 31-year-old man. I long for the day. He's probably like, dude, you're so weird. Stop talking about me. Stop talking about me.
But see, this is the thing, because you don't ever see him post his own pictures. You see people from the parade take pictures.
He's not real. He's not a real person.
He's a ghost. He literally is a ghost.
Honestly,
that haunts.
It's like when you rewatch the Sixth Sense and you're like, yeah, he doesn't actually ever talk to anyone. It's like, is this dude real? It's just, all it is pictures of something somewhere that show up on my Twitter. It could be staged for all I know.
This is a Dave Portnoy concoction.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a hired actor.
Somebody tweeted me, not specifically about McGillicuddy, but when the Patriots won, he was like, and I did my podcast yesterday where I was just loathing, and everyone was
download.
I swear to God,
KFCRadio.com/iTunes.
I swear to God, I'm as important to the cause because you guys need like a foil to shit on. Well then, so after your three movie marathon, you were back in New York at the strip club Sapphire, right?
Yes, in New York City, and
so
it was great.
You do, I don't know what, let's say half a dozen appearances at strip clubs per year now.
Now, yeah.
Okay,
and they're all at Sapphire this year.
And now that you're in the Barstool world, a lot of the clientele are stoolies in the crowd watching you.
So I think that actually, I have a feeling my fan base crossed over with the Barstool fan base originally.
Oh, not the other way around.
Because, yeah, like when I started talking to you about joining Barstool, like I every feature dance gig I went on, I would ask people like, hey, do you know this site called Barstool Sports? What do you think? And everyone was like, yeah, like how, of course I know Barstool Sports.
Duh.
But now that I'm officially with Barstool, those fans are a lot more vocal.
Right.
And this group of guys.
Coley, do you know the story yet?
No.
She's in the club.
So I'm dancing in the club. And Sapphire is like a one show only thing. So like they make like a big deal out of it. And I come out on stage and I strip tease basically. And it's generally like people are just like kind of cheering, but they're like making it rain. And it's a very like sexy environment.
I can imagine.
But this time, and this was my first big dance gig, like after being with Barstool, and there was like a group of like, there must have been like 10 of them, and I don't know if they all came together or I don't know how it even happened, but suddenly, like as soon as I'm naked, they start chanting "Brick by Brick," and I'm literally flashing, and this is Sapphire's like a topless only club, so like I don't get fully nude, but I'm like flashing. They started like right when I was flashing my asshole, like a little peekaboo, and they're like "Brick by Brick, Brick by Brick," and like, but like the whole club was like chanting it, and like I can't. I mean, I'm sure some of the people saying it like didn't even know
right,
what
they
were saying.
At that point,
when
you just
people
start
chanting, yeah,
you go.
But
it
was like not at all sexy.
No, I'd like, be laughing my dick off.
It's to the point where
talk about a wood killer. You got Portnoy's chant going in the strip club. No way.
Yeah, like like the whole thing is like a sensual striptease, and like, how do you sensually do anything when people are chanting "Brick by Brick" and "Go Prez Go"?
Yo,
that one's worse.
Portnoy. Portnoy probably responds to one out of every 100 text messages I send him. He was like, "Is there video? I need it. Did Asa laugh? What did she say? What was happening? Like, give me all the details."
I was definitely laughing. Like, it did crack me up because
Sapphire's probably like, "What the fuck is going on?"
It was like, it's basically the least sexy thing I've ever been a part of. And
yo, Barstool Sports is gonna kill Asa's like sex career. Oh man!
Like they were not there to enjoy my dance.
No, not at all. Like, put your clothes back on. Yeah. Tell me about Barstool. That is one of the best.
They were not inquiring about lap dance prices.
Oddly, one of the better strip club stories I've ever heard. Henry Clockwood covering up the clock was actually perfect.
Yeah.
His whole job was to just hold a digital clock, and he just sat there with his arms folded over the clock so nobody could see it. And it was like 10,
it's like the ultimate,
9,
you had one
8,
job.
Yeah, 100%. And we're like, clock guy, you're fucking covering the clock. It made for perfect TV, though, because we were able to introduce Hank, and he was dressed and looked like an idiot because he had the gold chain on and a weird headset. It looked like a Halloween costume that Hank was wearing.
Yeah.
We had the cowboy Fred playing songs, Glennie Balls eating lobster in the background.
That was my favorite.
I mean, it was such a nice little like Easter egg touch if you looked in the background.
Upset of the century is cowboy Fred not being like a full-time employee back in
the
office.
Oh, I kept saying, I was like, you're relocating right now. Yeah. Like, just pack your guitar. You're going to come back to the office and live with fucking Page was in a chinchilla.
Where did you find that guy? Because I know the plan was to like go through Nashville and like look at bars, but Dave was dead
trip. We were telling everybody that we picked him up in Houston. He was in Nashville, but he was just like a dude from like outside of Houston who I think Comedy Central put out like a casting call or whatever. Oh, okay. And picked him. He looked the part, acted the part.
Sounded
so
great.
We told everybody.
Met with Cowboy Fred for like 3 hours in the backyard of the Totino's house to get that little jingle.
Yep.
I mean it's a brilliant jingle.
Everybody was singing Barstool.
But it took a long time to get around so that's what we'll have him do.
Right. Yeah, that was a classic Barstool operation.
March Madness is up next, and BetDSI will have a $1 million bracket contest for all our listeners. Completing a perfect bracket is close to impossible, so they're adding guaranteed prizes for best overall March Madness bracket performances. All of our listeners will get a free entry into the March Madness contest. BetDSI has over $20 years in business. Top-rated business on sportsbook review sites. Great mobile product, easy to use from everywhere. Live in-game wagering, and you name it, they got it. Great customer service, 24/7, 365. Free $25 just for registering. $200 bonus on your first deposit with promo code Barstool200. Super Bowl's over, but basketball's heating up. College hoops, NBA, ice hockey, you name it. BetDSI, betdsi.com. Use the promo code Barstool200. Freshly dipped strawberries from Sherry's Berries starting at just $19.99 plus shipping, or double the berries for just $10 more. Just go to berries.com and use the code DAVEP. That's my last, that's D-A-V-E-P. Dave P. Help support our show by supporting our sponsors. Use my code DAVEP. With Valentine's Day right around the corner, there's only one way to get Sherry's Berries starting at $19.99. Just visit berries.com, B-E-R-R-I-E-S.com. Click on the microphone in the top right-hand corner and type in Dave P. That's berries.com. Use my code Dave P. Help support our show, supporting our sponsors. Again, the code is Dave P. Sherry's Berries, great gift, great Valentine's Day, chocolate-covered strawberries, you name it, they got it. And get a little sexy with that, by the way. Freshly dipped strawberries, Sherry's Berries, starting at just $19.99. Again, the code is Dave P.
Here's your host, Kevin Clancy, because Dave's not ever going to do this show again, probably. It's Barstool Radio, Sirius XM, The Rush 93. I got Feidelberg back in the building. Wasn't sure if you were going to survive the weekend. Happy to see that you're still a living human being.
I'm still... I've described it as, if today was a football game, I would be probable. I am not off the injury report yet.
I don't think you're ever going to be.
No.
I don't think at this age you can party like we did for that long and still ever be the same. I'm going to be chasing those 2 weeks for the rest of my life. Like, I'm never going to get them back. So you're a little bit behind me. Barstool Radio OG Caleb Presley is here. What up?
What up? How you feel after those 2 weeks, Kevin?
It was...
You were partying a little bit.
I was getting loose. Like I said, don't feel good. I could have gone a lot harder. We were behaved the first few nights. And then, like, Thursday, I saw the sun come up. Friday was the party. Saturday, I wanted to die. So,
okay.
Yeah,
you're
okay.
Here.
Yeah. I'd probably be questionable.
Yo, what are the chances Dave actually does? You said that in joking fashion, but what are the chances that Dave ever comes back to the
show?
I'll
be perfectly honest, before you and Roan jumped on, I was like, this is going to last another 6 days max. And then you guys came on and I was like, you know what? He might stick this out. But then there was like a break in the schedule. There was like a change in life with the Super Bowl, and I could just see him being like, "Man, like that just is not even in his brain anymore."
That's kind of how when you go to, when you start going to the gym and you're finally getting into it,
and then something.
If you have
you
a
back.
Bad weekend, yes. You're like, "Fuck it, I'm never going back
that
to the gym."
That is exactly what it is.
I think it's weird how we're not concerned about him.
Oh, what?
Like you have not worked here long enough.
Everyone's like, "Oh, he's MIA today." Like what? What?
I mean, I hope he's MIA forever. You have not worked here long enough if you're still concerned about the well-being of Dave Portnoy.
I am concerned.
You are a pussy, Asa Akira.
And he was sick on the trip, so yeah. Like that's.
He's fine. He had a fucking toothache on the trip, all right? It was drug withdrawals and a toothache. Jesus Christ.
I mean, for the record, if something went terribly wrong, I was the only one who was worried.
You suck up. You brown-nosing ass.
Even
I'm just putting
suck
it
up.
Out there.
Chaps is even off the worry train.
Yeah, if Chaps can check in on him.
No, Chaps is done.
If Chaps is not checking in, you should not be
Chaps
checking in.
Chaps is like
in.
The
give
nicest guy
break.
Ever alive. And if Chaps don't give a fuck about you, you got to be a real asshole.
So yesterday we were talking about Patrick McGillicuddy, my arch nemesis. We talked about this 15-year-old boy at length yesterday. And I even went home being like, it was a little weird how much I talked about that teenage boy today. But then last night, this morning, whenever, I got a tweet from someone, I believe in Canada. They were watching CNN on the international channel, and they played this clip.
World dream to go to a championship parade for their team one day. But for 15-year-old Patrick McGillicuddy, it's nearly a yearly ritual. Look at the poster he's holding.
CNN actually running with the fake name Patrick McGillicuddy. And we played the clip, and Trent goes to me, did CNN credit us? I said, why would they credit us? They just thought that's what his fucking name is.
They weren't joking.
When
they
you,
got fake news by got, you.
That's a huge.
That was an alternative fact.
That's a huge point for Trump. Like if CNN's running with that stuff, maybe he's. Because I've always been like, oh, fuck off, dude. He's got a point now. If they're just not fact-checking anything and just running tweets, that's a problem.
If this is not Sean Spicer's opening fucking act today at the podium. Well, let me tell you, Barstool Sports and Patrick McGillicuddy, it's fake news all over the place.
You got to be hella suspicious to doubt someone's name.
Well, I
like, let me fact-check that name.
Yeah.
That's not your name.
Any outlet, whether it's Twitter or this website or anyone, if you find that picture, the name Patrick McGillicuddy will appear. So there's a chance they even did their fact-checking, and they were just like, this kid's name is Patrick McGillicuddy.
That's so true, though. Why would you doubt that?
You have no reason to.
A lot of hate floating around on the internet right now for your boy George Lopez, who is apparently still alive and performing in some hot water on the internet because he did a stand-up act with a joke about a racial joke and then talking shit to a heckler. We got the clip right here.
Still two rules in the fucking Latinos family. Don't marry somebody black. And don't park in front of our house. Sit your fucking ass down. Sit your fucking ass down. Sit your, I'm talking bitch, sit your fucking ass down. You pay to see a show, sit your ass down. You can't take a joke, you're in the wrong motherfucking place. You can't take a joke, you're in the wrong, so sit your fucking ass down or get the fuck out of here. Sit your fucking ass down.
Get him, George, get him.
I hate him.
Yo, here's the thing. I hate when there's an internet controversy and you're on the side of the guy who's like an absolute asshole. I think I'm on George Lopez's side.
Of course you're on George Lopez's side. What I want to say...
Let me just say this. He also had her kicked out. That I don't agree with.
Why? You're in a fucking show. She ruins a show for absolutely everybody.
She didn't ruin it, though. Well, all she did was stand up. First of all, I agree with him in the sense that... If you're offended by what a comedian says, you've already lost.
Yeah, don't even go to a show.
Yeah, like, you've just already lost that battle. But I think he handled it really poorly.
That's the thing, is that he's just not a
Everyone
funny
comedian. Everyone in that fucking building paid to listen to George Lopez talk. So not some random lady screaming at him.
Was she even screaming, though?
But also more than
like she stood up.
She didn't have a microphone in her hand, but I'm sure everyone around her was ruining the show for them.
I also think the point is that if you're still paying tickets to see George Lopez in 2017, no, you're either like a weird diehard George Lopez fan who knows he's going to be making Mexican jokes, or your standards for George Lopez should be low enough that you're not going to stand up and object to it. It's like
it actually must be like 100% Mexican people in there because I don't even get this fucking joke. What is
that
it? Mean? Why can't you park
I'll
in front of
Mexican? I'll tell you what it means.
Do you know what that means?
I know exactly what it means. In porn, the number one. Like thing that is not shot. Like if you shoot this thing, you will lose money. And that's a Hispanic girl with a black dude. That 100% is throwing money down the drain. It's simply not.
I don't know.
I have dabbled in that before.
I feel like I've seen some Latino and black guy porn.
There's definitely, like, if you go to a website, you can see a Hispanic girl with a black dude, but you're never gonna see like. It's never going to be a whole movie titled Hispanic
like
Girls
Pictures.
With Black Eyes.
Yeah, whereas
like there's definitely movies where it's like, help, there's a big black dude and my white daughter or whatever.
There's definitely those.
You know what
yes,
I mean?
Yes.
But like you will never advertise
well,
something
yeah,
as like Latina blah, 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 blah with black dude blah, 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 blah.
I don't doubt that.
All right, so explain the house.
Yeah, that I don't get. Why don't you park your car in front of a Mexican's house?
Yeah, I don't get that
We're
either.
Too white for that joke.
Also, I love how you said that that's a Mexican joke, but it's definitely a black joke.
Right? Yeah, I think that plays both ways.
No, I think it was
There are
offensive.
Two rules to being Latinos. Don't ever marry a black person.
I think that's offensive to black people,
yeah,
not
but it's,
offensive
it's,
to Mexicans.
It's Mexicans being racist,
It's
too.
Geared towards a Mexican. It's geared towards a Mexican audience.
Yeah, but it's making fun of black people.
Yeah, I mean, we're making fun of everybody here. And that's the point, is that it's a bad joke. I don't think he was clever in the way he handled his heckler. Like, just screaming, shut the fuck up, bitch, sit down, bitch, is not very funny or witty. So I think, like,
I think
it was so aggressive.
Like Dave Chappelle, everything he ever did was wildly racially charged, but he was just very subtle and nuanced and just funny. Mm-hmm. So people don't care,
right?
George Lopez's washed up ass says like Mexicans don't like black people, and then you scream "Shut the fuck up, bitch!"
It sounds like angry racism.
Yeah, it came off weird. But at the end of the day, I ultimately side with one. I don't think you can kick anybody out because when you're in there, you're in the Terror Dome.
You have to kick people out. If they're ruining the show for everyone,
okay,
you have
fine.
To kick them out.
If it gets to the point where you're really ruining the show, but I think that if he stopped screaming, shut the fuck up, bitch, he would have just sat down and the show could have gone on. If you want to get dirty, you want to play in the mud, fine, but I don't think hecklers should have any protection from the comedian like ripping them a new one. Like, you made yourself part of this show, now I'm going to make fun of you. And I think everybody should, you know, if you paid money, you should be able to stay. Unless, like you said, it's truly ruining the show. Maybe my favorite headline in a long, long time. It has to do with Judy Garland, the Munchkins from The Wizard of Oz, and sexual assault. There's a new memoir coming out where the ex-lover of Judy Garland explains that she was daily groped by the midgets, by the munchkins. Said they, quote, they thought they could get away with anything because they were so small. They would make Judy's life miserable on set by putting their hands under her dress. The men were 40 or more years old.
All right.
This sounds... You know? I feel like... The way he said that sounded hateful.
Sounded like he was mad at the guys fingering his wife.
Not the guys, the midgets. I would not be happy with a midget fingering my girlfriend. I'll tell you that much.
This is kind of a dagger at the idea that sexual assault, it can't be funny. Because I'm going to be honest. This is, if you put midgets in a Dorothy robe, and you play the Lollipopkin song. Everyone in this, look at Asa's like offended now.
I'm horrified.
Asa, you were laughing 5 seconds ago, and that's the point.
And you're right, it's funny, but
munchkin assault is funny. I'm sorry.
It's nothing.
I wouldn't say it like that.
But that's
the fact.
It's just a fact. Yes. You don't want to hear facts sometimes, but I made sure to look at everyone's face in this room. They were laughing while the Lollipopkin song played.
It's funny if it's happening to someone else.
Yeah, oh yeah. I mean, if I'm getting fingered by a midget, I'm certainly not laughing at it.
Well,
but
first of all, we don't know that it's fingered.
Correct, but when
they
you're,
said what,
when
like
you're
molested?
A midget, yeah, when you're running your hands up some girl's dress, grabbing her ass and stuff. Yeah, all right, there's no penetration.
That's
but
all
it's,
the same.
It's all semantics.
It's all the same.
No, actually, it's not the same at all. It's very different.
No. It's all gray. It's all,
you've already crossed the line. Put it that way.
I've been molested before.
Oh, of course. Okay.
I'm pulling that card.
By a midget?
And not by a midget.
Because otherwise, it's apples and oranges.
If they were fingering me, I would have been way more upset. And you know what?
Justifiably so.
Fuck that. Because imagine a midget were grabbing your ass as opposed to fingering your asshole. You guys, you can't tell me that there's not a huge difference.
I don't know, man.
But imagine we had like a little midget girl at the office and she just kept grabbing your dick. You'd get so mad. I'd be so mad.
Imagine she was fingering your asshole.
Let's go. Yeah. Fast forward 6 months. That's entirely on the table for this company.
But it would be like, it wouldn't be like I'm actually mad at it. I'd be like a kid trying to take my food. Like, fuck it. Knock it off. Just a little, like, knock it off, you little fucking thing.
A spray bottle with water. Get down. Sit.
That is offensive to both midgets and
I have a feeling the dwarf community is not going to like this.
I could see the husband getting more mad than Garland because it's like
it's offensive to you as like a man, right?
Yeah, because you're like, yo, you're 40 years old, dude.
Like, and I know a midget.
Like, I know
and
you're short, midget. But come on, dude.
See,
like, this
that's
is my
the
wife.
Thing. Those midgets are probably like, oh, I can get away with murder because I'm 3'5". So they take advantage.
What that reminds me of is like, it's like a someone who's acts like they're gay to be around girls and like see them naked.
Yeah.
That's
not exactly
really
gay. What it is.
You know
exactly. No. That's spot on.
How is this like that at all?
I didn't know that was a thing.
What are they, pretending to be midgets so that they can finger girls?
Well, they're just pretending to be like, I'm small and I'm little, and I can't be held accountable for my actions because I'm a midget.
I don't think that's how it went down at all. Almost every single little person I've ever met has been an alcoholic.
Okay.
Yeah,
so
no.
let's protect the midget community.
I'm not protecting them. I'm just saying I don't think that they went about it like, oh, I'm so small. I don't know what I'm doing.
They were just blacked out like, I'm going to grab that ass.
I think I'm not excusing their behavior. I'm saying it's even more horrible than pretending to be like, I don't know what
listen,
I'm doing.
Listen, I'll be honest. If I was a little person, dwarf, midget, whatever the nomenclature is these days.
Don't say it.
What? I would probably drink a lot too.
Oh. Yeah.
And then maybe also take advantage of some gray areas where I felt like I wouldn't get in that much trouble because I was little and drunk. That's all I'm going to say.
Like you said, though, it must have pissed off. Like, it really pissed him off because this is, what, 40
years?
50 years
later.
And he's like, I got to get this off my chest. Finally, I got to talk about how the midgets were always fingered.
And he didn't. He said it so hatefully.
Allegedly. We have to say allegedly because fact checker Kelly Coves looked it up. There is still one
alive.
Midget alive. He's a 97-year-old midget.
Which
I don't know about you, but I thought
miracle.
Midgets had like, 25 years max.
You said they were like goldfish.
Yes, yes.
Well,
I actually
their
did.
Their suicide rate is crazy. Well,
that I knew. I learned that in Bruges.
So you're saying basically, Asa, that these people who are like very small compared to normal are unhappy.
Shocking. Like, now, also, you're like an inch. When you're 50, you'll be a legal midget. So
yeah,
that's why you're protecting.
You think midgets get shorter
right
when they get older?
No,
Asians do.
Asians do. My grandma, well, before she died, was legally a midget for sure. Because I think 4'10 is the.
But no, I'm saying a midget would also get smaller because they have gravity just like us.
What about an Asian midget?
Oh, they just disappear.
Do y'all have?
They turn 60 on the stroke of midnight. They
do y'all
disappear.
Have Asian midgets?
I've never seen one.
Oh, they exist. They have to exist. Well, maybe it's just.
Have you ever seen? You just think it's a normal
it's
person.
The culture as a whole.
Hey, Asian midget with a receding hairline.
I'm 5'1.5". Thank you very much.
I'm on Google Images right now. Asian midget. Oh, they exist. Well, they're kind of like Filipino. They're like fake Asian.
Oh, there's a very famous one. The one in the tuxedo with the gun.
Yeah,
he's
like,
from, like James Bond.
Yeah, Oddjob was basically like a midget.
Hey, you know, back in the old days when like they didn't understand gays, they didn't have any understanding for any type of difference in humans. What do you think they thought about midgets?
They were witches. That's whatever. Yeah. If you weren't like a white man, you were a witch. That's basically what it was.
But you know what it shows? Like Judy Garland, Dorothy, was like the mega superstar of that time. And midgets were even like, I'm going to grab that chick's ass. Like, I'm a man. I'm a midget. I don't care. She's a woman. I can do whatever I want.
Yeah, there's something to be said for it was different. Not that it's right, but it was different in that time what you were allowed to do.
Even if you were a little person.
Not that it's right, but it was different.
I'm just saying, on the hierarchy.
I saw Mad Men. They used to do that shit all
that's
the time.
What I'm saying. Right. It's like the same time period, maybe?
Like in the 19-whatevers, the hierarchy still had like super successful famous chick under alcoholic sexual assault midgets. That's crazy.
Could women even vote when
I
The Wizard of Oz was filmed?
Okay, let's play a game.
We do this game
on KFC Radio sometimes. It's called Asa Thinks. And we have to guess what Asa's answer is going to be. So we're going to ask Asa, what year did The Wizard of Oz come out?
And when was women's suffrage?
And then when did women get the right to vote?
I'm going to say they were around the same time.
Okay, you got to give a better answer than that.
1950.
I have.
Yeah, 1950 for which one?
Both.
Oh,
I have Wizard of Oz in the 70s and women's suffrage in 24.
In the 70s.
I got Wizard of Oz in 46, and I got suffrage in the 20s.
Wizard of Oz was made in 1939.
Wow.
So they had that color shit going in the 1930s. 1920 on the button for the 19th Amendment, which granted 1919, actually.
Oh, I didn't realize it was that far long ago.
Yeah, so
Garland was voting while this was happening.
Yeah. Yep, yes, sir.
So women were officially not second-class citizens.
No.
I mean, let's not get crazy, Asa. To wrap it all up, though, I really just got to say that I think Judy Garland, Munchkin, Sexual Assault on the Wizard of Oz set is honestly one of my all-time favorite headlines.
I hope it was
ever
true.
Been written.
I
know.
True.
I hope this wasn't just some made-up shit.
I hope that chick got fingered by midgets.
It wasn't fingered. Just
no,
molested.
It's fingered.
We don't know the
allegedly,
extent of it.
Whatever.
Judy Garland lived a crazy life. I bet she liked it. That's why we didn't hear about it until now. That's why she liked being Dorothy. We got a interesting little fact check there during the break. That may or may not change your opinions on The Wizard of Oz and Munchkins. Judy Garland was only 16 years old when she played Dorothy. So that was a 16-year-old girl being inappropriately touched by 40-year-old Munchkins.
So first thing, that's fucking bullshit, Coley, telling us that.
Yeah, that was just fucked up. It's like, dude, you could have just let us have our joke, and now we all feel bad about it. It's just...
Listen, I was focused on the voting aspect. I didn't even consider... Like, I think, like, Munchkins. Yeah, Munchkins.
That's not inappropriate. They were Munchkins.
That is the first thing Coley said. He was like, so she couldn't even vote!
I feel like you got a half their age. Like, they were 40, but they were really, like, closer to 20.
Well, you half their size,
that's what
I'm
saying.
Their age.
Yeah.
That's still bad.
Yeah, 20 and 16.
Not great.
Still not good.
And to be fair...
The optics on that are not good.
Judy Garland, like, we've all seen her, we all picture her, we never even consider the fact she looked like
a full old
like,
woman.
She looked like an old woman. Yeah. I thought she was like 40.
Yeah, no, it's me too. Absolutely. She was a rough 16. That was not a good look for Judy.
I think we think that because we all saw that movie as a kid, right?
In black and white.
Yeah.
Black and white. Instantly makes you old.
Yeah.
You can put a little child on black and white. That thing's 40 years old, minimum. So, I don't know.
Like Shirley Temple.
I guess I have to, yeah, oh, definitely.
Old
instantly
old.
Shirley Temple was a redheaded midget.
Fact.
Yeah.
fake news. I don't think that changes my stance at all. This story going viral today. This is the hardest friend zone of all time. I don't think it could get any worse than this.
Everyone in here just like collectively
deflated. It's so painful.
It's so bad. So there's this picture on Instagram, and it's this. You know what? Actually, looking at this picture, I might get a little too woke on it. This guy looks so ridiculous. The account is they blurred out the account on this, so I can't tell you. You can go on Twitter. Well, Coley, can you put this up? The friend zone thing. Go on at Barstool Twitter to see this picture.
Someone posted it, right?
He's got the high socks pulled up, and he's all skinny and dorky looking. He's with this cute chick though, and they're standing on a farm. And the girl.
He's not that dorky looking.
No, he's not that dorky looking.
Not to warrant this.
Yo. This guy's a fucking dork. This is like Feidelberg fashion. This guy looks ridiculous.
I
haven't inspected it closely.
He kind of looks like a skinny Asian dude.
I just looked at it quickly, and I wasn't like, oh my God, what a fucking loser.
Yeah, I didn't think that
either. Well, that's what I'm thinking right now as I look at it. And the girl posts to Instagram with the caption, "From Top Golf to dinner, flowers, ice cream, and horseback riding, you outdid yourself on this friend date, Daniel. You wanted to set a standard for how I should be treated, and you sure set a high one. I thank God so much that he put an amazing friend like you in my life. Thank you so much for making me feel like a true princess. Hashtag still single, though."
Ah, what a fucking bitch.
What a bitch! You have to have some awareness on what you are doing to this dude and his dick.
You know what I really hope? I hope that this guy becomes
like a
fucking billionaire,
yes, an app
and
developer.
She gets pregnant right now and ruins her life.
I would love nothing more. If there's any karma in the world of romance, that would happen.
Ugh.
Listen, there's always going to be guys in the friend zone. There's always going to be girls who take advantage of it or say, like, I just want to have friends who, you know, I can trust, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But as a girl, you got to know
that's
this is not the
this.
Ideal situation for a dude. And when you put him on blast like this, it's completely
not just putting
like
him on blast, but she's obviously leading him on, like letting him take
spend
her to
money
Top
on
Golf dinner with flowers,
horseback riding,
well, horseback
is
riding,
she, horseback riding.
Is
better
she
get you
leading
laid.
Him on?
Yo, by the way, yes.
Because no,
you
she's not.
Accept,
no, yeah, she's not have, leading him on.
So do you think this is like her passive aggressive way of being like?
She
might have
told him right before,
it.
Like, "Yo, we can do this, but it's a friend date." It's a friend date. And he's like, oh, okay.
No,
the
it went
guys
down like
don't
this.
Get a lot
he was
of,
like, I need to show you how you should be treated. Let me take you out on a date to show you what you deserve. And she said, okay.
Okay, friend.
And then they went on this date. She should have been like, nah.
Yeah, that's leading on. Listen, the minute you accept horseback riding as a chick, you are contractually
and
obligated
flowers.
To at least fool around a little bit.
Flowers?
Come on. Horseback riding outdoes flowers. Do you know how hard it is to plan a horseback riding date? I can get you flowers right fucking now. Go to thebooks.com/KFC. That's done. Boom. I'll get you flowers by tomorrow. Getting a horseback riding trip? That takes some planning. You get a girl. If you can get a girl on a horse, she has to have sex with you.
I just realized that we are arguing very different points. We feel like we're on the same side, and we're not. You think that she owes this guy sex now.
Kinda.
No.
Something. A little fool around. A little ass grabbing. A little Julie Garland munchkin action.
She shouldn't have even accepted this date at all.
But yeah, okay, that's fine. Either don't accept it. But once you do.
Because it's too romantic. It's leading him on.
Dude, if you can give me anything, I'll take it. Like anything in all
anything
world.
For free.
John,
like chlamydia, I'll take chlamydia. If you are handing it out, it's like going through, like life is just going through a fucking. A food court. It's like, if there's something for free, I'm taking it.
This is this is the same.
I don't even like this Chinese food. I'm fucking taking it.
I'm not even hungry. I'm going to eat all of it.
Thing
whatever.
As a girl calling you over at 3 a.m. to come to her house to Netflix and chill, and then you don't even get a blowjob. It's the same thing.
Yeah, but you should.
Except that
you
spent all this time and money on it. It wasn't even.
Yeah, I'm just saying, if you accept all these things, then there should be a return of some sexual pleasure.
Accept it.
See,
see
guys,
in the first place.
I'll say this for girls. Look, this girl knows what she's doing.
Yeah.
Why it's terrible.
That's why it's bad. But guys, like, fuck the guys too.
You have to realize.
Look, I've been stuck in a friend zone before.
Yeah,
that's fucking on you, you idiot 16-year-old
yeah,
John. Your fucking fault.
I look back on some of the girls I hung out with in high school, and I'm like, you fucking loser.
Right, exactly.
You guys, that is such victim mentality. Like, it wasn't your fault.
Oh no, it's absolutely my fault.
No.
Yeah,
don't you try to Goodwill Hunting me here. It's my fault.
There's nothing wrong with having hope.
I just think that it's almost you. It's one of those things where you can't see it when you're in the moment. Like it's almost like a, you know, when they say like a drug addict or something needs to like hit rock bottom themselves. Mm-hmm. You can't get out of the friend zone until you just realize how stupid you're being. You can look a friend zone right in the face and be like, dude, you're in the friend zone. Stop fucking doing this. And they're going to still try until you get put on blast on Instagram. And then you're like, hashtag
the whole internet.
Also, you know she's given him hope.
Enough. There's been enough like a
he's
kiss
not
here
doing
and there
this,
or something.
He's not doing this like with no reason.
This is also dumb of him here. Like, you don't first dates. You don't do this.
No way. You set the bar
right?
way too high.
So like, what happens?
But
in
I don't
a
know.
Month
she
when
said,
so he probably thinks this is like a fifth date. Because she's been
see,
leading.
See, don't you
him
think
on.
He's fucking stupid for that? Getting led on this hard means you're dumb.
I don't
like. She also says on this friend date.
Right.
So that clearly implies
there's
there have
more.
Been multiple.
Been more. It's her fault.
She's an idiot.
Bitch. No.
You have to realize girls are pretty and they get free shit for it, and that's the way the world works. You can either be a sucker who does it or a guy who doesn't. That's on you as a dude.
What if he really was piping, though, and they were just friends?
There's always that possibility. All right. Another break coming up. When we get back, we'll keep talking some more bullshit. It's Sirius XM Rush 93 Barstool Radio.
Imagine that was great.
But you say he's just a friend. And you say he's just a friend. Oh, Pam Beasley.
Pam Beasley, which is her real name. What's her actual name? Jenna Fisher? No, your name is Pam Beasley. Tweeted a picture of herself in front of a Chili's the other day. We're talking about Pam from The Office. And said, should I go in? Because as every good Office fan knows, the episode of the Dundees, she got blacked out at a Chili's and was banned from Chili's for life. And here we are, how many years after The Office goes off the air? Chili's has lifted the ban on Pam Beasley.
I think The Office is one of the only shows where this joke is funny. Like any other show, I'd be like, "Ugh, that's so annoying. Get over it."
Yeah,
like
it was so
on
old,
with your
it's
life.
Corny, but Office fans,
but with The
are
Office, like my
it.
Heart is so full.
And Chili's was smart. They jumped on it. That. They issued a full release. They said, effective immediately, Chili's Bar and Grill has removed the longstanding ban on a Scranton, Pennsylvania woman. After reviewing the good conduct of Pam, we have decided to lift the 11-year ban. So they played it right. They're getting all sorts of publicity.
You must fucking come everywhere.
When
you're the
Chili's
PR
social
guy.
Media. You're
yeah.
like, yes,
fucking
yes.
Finally.
I mean, she took a picture in front of it. It says Chili's right above her head.
If I can speak for
Got 120,000 retweets.
We are banned from Applebee's.
Yes, correct.
So if Applebee's wants to lift the ban on me, Kevin, and Dan.
Wait,
first of all, I'll consider it.
I'm
not going to come crawling back that easily.
Because I fuck with Chili's. Yeah. Chili's been good to me since.
And Chili's will probably jump on and be like, fuck Applebee's.
Wait. Why are you guys banned from Applebee's?
The most ridiculous nonsense. We were up in Maine, and we went up to a Applebee's for like a solid 6 hours. We did lunch and dinner there. We were there a long time.
We were there longer than that. We went there at noon. We started blogging. We were all blogging at noon. In our cubicle, and then
we were watching like late
cubicle.
Games. Yeah, like at our table.
Not cubicle. Yeah,
it was like
table.
A booth.
Yeah, it was a booth. Whatever.
It became a cubicle.
Okay,
we worked
I'm
there so long.
I'm starting to see why.
We ordered every single app.
Every app on the menu. We said, "What? Bring one of everything." They were like, we're like "No, for real, bring one of everything. It's gonna be a while." But Applebee's has a rule that like you can't have more than 6 drinks, no matter what. We were like, "We've been here for 12 hours. 6 drinks. Like
also,
I don't even have
don't
a buzz
people
going."
Go to Applebee's to drink.
But you can't. You can't get. It's some number that I remember being like,
it was six.
Six. No more than six.
But then
major limit. And they were like, we can't do it. There's an eye in the sky camera that's been watching. We've been counting your drinks. Like, you're cut off.
Then we kept trying to sneak out and sneak back in. Like, we went and changed clothes.
Like maybe we were drunk.
Because we were in the middle of nowhere, Maine. It was the only place to drink.
It was a great day.
So
I had a great time.
I
until we got kicked
keep
out.
Drinking. We went back to the hotel. We changed. And they finally like, that's it. You guys are banned. You're out of here.
I've never been so outraged in my life. I was like, this is absolutely offensive. Applebee's,
it's
an American place.
It's a 3-drink limit.
No.
No, it's like 3 drinks in an hour or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah,
and
they definitely gave
it was,
us 6.
It was like, really, Applebee's? There's a Chili's down the road.
So if Pam Beasley is getting unbanned at Chili's, I want it unbanned at Applebee's. I don't know if I'm going to take it.
But
I want it.
I want it extended where it's up
you
to
want
me.
You want to reject the offer.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, now it's never going to happen.
It's like, no, it's like being in the friend zone. It's like being in the friend zone. It's like, is it their fault? Is it our fault? I don't know. Extend the offer. Are you exploiting? It's basically the same thing. Applebee's, you can go fuck yourself. That's what it comes down to. You and your ridiculous drink policy.
Chili's and Pub 99,
go
fuck that's yourself. Where I'll be.
Yep. You catch me at Chili's today for lunch. That's what's up. Barstool Radio, catch you tomorrow without Dave, probably. XM, Rush 93.
Help my podcast stay free to download with minimal ads. Responses will help align the appropriate advertisers to my audience. This survey is short and completely anonymous. It takes no more than 5 minutes. There are two easy ways to begin this survey. Go to podcast.com/mysurvey or podcast1.com and click on the survey banner. Again, go to podcast1.com/mysurvey or podcast1.com and click on the survey banner. If you filled the survey out in the past, we thank you, but we still need you to do it again. You do all of us at the Dave Portnoy Show and Podcast One a huge favor by filling it out. Thank you for supporting my